Our Savior said, salvation is of the Jews. So can we also say that salvation is Jewish? Hi, I'm Stephen Yah, here for the YahYahweh.name website. And thank you very much for joining us. We're going to scriptures about salvation, first of all. So those of you who already know all of them are welcome to take the slider on that little player there on your computer screen and move past that point if you want to skip this spot. It's quite all right. In fact, you don't have to listen to any of it if you don't want, but we're going to Romans 3:23. And most of you know all of these scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the esteem of Yahweh. So we have broken His Torah, broken His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, and we need to repent and come out of our, continually throughout our life, come out of our sinful state and into a separated, pure state, having our body sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, by the Messiah. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through the Messiah. That's correct. John 3:16, we'll go to that after a bit. Romans 10:9, if we confess with our mouth that the Messiah, let's look that up there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yahweh HaMashiach, that's the Messiah, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we believe that Messiah was put in the grave, but then he went down and preached to the demons during those 3 days and three nights that he was in the grave, then we don't believe he was dead. He was up in Adam. He was getting at the demons down of the grave. I know we get that idea from reading the book of Peter, which Peter is not correct. Excuse me. Peter is correct. Oh, okay. There's not a mistake there or something. It's just our misunderstandings. Mark 16. So we have to go back from Romans back to the book of Mark on this program, Salvation is Jewish. That's kind of a strange title when all things Jewish are being denounced for the last thousands of years. 16:16 in the book of Mark. He that believeth and is immersed or baptized, baptismo is the Greek word, all that believeth and are immersed shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. New tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Messiah said unto his emissaries, his apostles there, in Mark 16:16. Acts 2:38. Repent and be immersed in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, in the name of the Messiah, in other words. Repent, turn from our sins, have the proper attitude. Ephesians 2:8, for by favor are we saved. Ephesians chapter 2. For by favor are we saved, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by the common word grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah unto good works. We're created unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained, that we should walk in them. We should walk in those commandments, statutes, and judgments. All the Ten Commandments, all the two commandments, just to love Yahweh, love our neighbor, that summarize the Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments, which includes the feast days, laws about cleanness, laws about even eating, and about immorality, sexual immorality, getting away from the proper use of marriage and relationships there, physical relationships. So if we're getting away from that, we're in the wrong place. We need to be in the proper place. We are saved by unmerited favor, though. We're not saved by works. And then, finally, I hate to say that word finally because I'll always find something else, but John chapter 3, Yochanan chapter 3, Nicodemus answered and said unto them, How can these things be? And Messiah said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know. Verse 13, And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, that is in the Son of Man, that is in the Messiah, whosoever believeth in the Messiah should not perish, but have eternal life. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also in John 3, 21, But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in Yahweh. So our good works are not our good works of keeping his commandments, but of Yahweh's working in us. Look there on the website, and I think you'll see pictures of the scriptures, the actual book, the pages are going up there on the website. It's really beautiful. I'm thankful that Yahweh has given us these gifts that we can share with others. And put up a picture of, I don't know if I'm going to put up John 3 or not, but I might not. Might put up Isaiah. So Yahweh said, the Messiah said that he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that Yahweh is true. We talked about the seal of Yahweh in Ezekiel 9. The Father loves the Son and has given us all things into his hand. He that believeth in the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. We need to back up there also in the book of John, where Nicodemus asked Messiah, what must he do to be saved? And the Messiah said, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. We must be born again. Then they came up recently here in the last 30 years with the expression born from above. It's not, you know, it's irrelevant as to which verbiage you prefer, born from above or born again. Because, well, let's keep with that born from above expression. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, of course, that's true. We're born above, you know, meaning the Messiah is up there in the heavens. So Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Or in other words, born from above? Messiah answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's found in John chapter 3, verse 5, when the Messiah said, Except a man be born of water. There's all kinds of interpretations that people and pastors teachers have given this. But I looked up the word, and that literally means water. You can also see Acts 11, 16. Born of water and of the Spirit. So we need to be born of the Spirit. I'll just look up one. Acts 11, 16. Acts 8, 36. Acts 10, 47. So how about 10, 47 and 11, 16? Going to the right. Acts 10, 47. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Yahweh. Then Peter answered and said, Can any man forbid water that these should not be immersed, which have received the Ruach HaKadosh as well as we? And he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Yahweh. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. At Acts 11, 16, Then remembered I the word of Yahweh, how that he said, Yochanan or John indeed immersed with water, and you shall be immersed with the Ruach HaKadosh. For as much then as Yahweh gave like the like gift as he did unto us who believed on Yahweh, what was I that I could withstand Yahweh? Beautiful, beautiful. Next, we'll be going to Colossians 1:13. We'll refer to Messiah as Yahweh HaMashiach, since the Father's name is in the Son. We'll explain this. It's also explained already all over this website. There's 50 different files, but you should concentrate on learning what Yahweh's name is first, because no other name under heaven by which man must be saved, so it's important to learn his name. But for now, Colossians 1:13 says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible Yahweh, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, in heaven, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him." So there's a great discussion there, an argument. The Jehovah's Witnesses try to come to your door and say that the Messiah was just a created being like us, and that he had a beginning, and but here he is. He created the world, and also we see that he was, hate to use the word worship, but he was praised at least a half a dozen times throughout the Gospels. There we see where people actually bowed down and praised him. Now they wouldn't do that to me, and I have Yahweh, and you have Yahweh's Spirit, so I would hope nobody would bow down to me. That would be idolatry. It would be worshiping me. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible." Let's skip on. "He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church," or the assembly rather, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." There's another place the Jehovah's Witness would have a conflict. So they probably, in their Alexandrian scrolls, their New World Translation, it would not say this. And Colossians 1:19, "It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Also see 2, verse 9. "And having made peace through the blood of his death on the tree, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." And you can keep reading there, but for lack of time and space, we're going to move on here. So we refer to the Messiah as Yahweh HaMashiach, the Creator. Yes, the Creator, Colossians 1, that's why I brought that up, is to bring out that he is the Creator. Each year, the family travels to places to praise Yahweh, to hear inspiring preaching, singing, fellowship, having meals together. Hard to imagine a feast being called Jewish bondage. Some have a big problem with Yahweh's law, and that's the issue about time, about the restriction on our time, that we need to give it to him. I mean, who is he to ask for a tenth or a seventh of my time? But he I would gladly, of course, willingly want to give time to him, as long as I'm not going to some kind of a watered-down, lukewarm, wishy-washy service, a boring service. Now, his call to assemble together on the Sabbaths and new moons is found in Isaiah 66, in Zechariah 14, people say Zechariah, Zechariah 14, and Leviticus 23. "How and then, and when are we to praise Yahweh?" is delineated and specified in those verses in Isaiah and Zechariah. The question is, will I be there? That's a bigger question. Will you be there? Will I be there? So some just have these feast days. It's a Chag pilgrimage feast, which means we want to travel to a special place. Hopefully we won't be in our own backyard or our house, unless conditions just do not allow any other way to do it. But, make sure that excuse, that alibi, is a good alibi, a very good alibi. And I would say extreme sickness would be one. I would not say that finances, because we can always find a way to go to we shouldn't be doing this, but going to Disneyland, I mean, supporting that kind of thing, come on. We can find excuses to go to the coast or the lake and so on. Well, this is our excuse to go to the lake because that's where we can have this feast, huh? The lake or the mountains or somewhere really nice, hopefully not downtown in the armory where they've got camouflage, this and that, and I don't think that's a very good surrounding. Well, we could have it in your closet if you needed to in downtown L.A. if you had to. But assemble during the feast days, assemble every day with the daily offerings. Did Moses meet with Yahweh every day? Of course. They commanded convocations like Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a separated summons by Yahweh himself. Not just the preachers get together and the church ladies deciding where we're going to meet this year. But Yahweh summons us to come up to the feast. Come up, he said. He didn't say go outside your door and meet out in the porch necessarily. That'd be good too, but even better, go up. So why fight it? I'm reading here from my article, Salvation is Jewish. My name is Stefan Yah. And common objections to Yahweh's law is all we need is just Jesus, not his real teachings, but his miracles and gifts, you know, magic tricks, pull on the string, rub the magic genie. But the gospel or evangel, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us in there, in 1 Corinthians 15 tells the death, burial, and the resurrection of Messiah are paramount to our understanding. You know, we must be saved. He said to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Yahweh the Messiah, to believe that he was dead 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12:40, and Matthew 28, verse 1, at the end of Matthew 28, 1. He was impaled on the tree and buried into the tomb. He was put into the tomb before the end of Aviv 14, and then 3 days or a matter of 72 hours later, from Aviv 14, we add that up, it's Aviv 17. Well, 14, 15, 16, 17. And that's 4 days, no? And we count from the day, okay? We don't count the day that he actually went in into the tomb at sunset on Aviv 14. Then all the other issues are not problematic. We don't want to really get into the preparation days and the high days and so on. We're not going to, on this particular, because the object of this is salvation is Jewish, is the title. There's no prophecy that said that whatever day he rose on, that would change his day of rest, creation, resting from creation, or, you know, it wouldn't change any of that, or our day to meet, to convocate, to praise him on that seventh day of the week. There isn't any prophecy in Scripture that says that. We're not under the law, we're under pardon. Are believers above the law? Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. For it is not subject to the law, to the Torah of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. Are you subject to his law of love and praise? Romans 8, 7. I'm subject to his two great laws, to love Yahweh and to love our neighbor. All right, well, how do we love him? With all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, yes. Well, that is the intent. We're to love him. Okay, but what? How? Where? You know, it's found there in the Scripture, in the Torah, on how to love Yahweh in his commandments, statutes, and judgments. See Psalm 19. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, lightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. Yea. Yes, more than fine gold. Much fine gold. Also sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. I kind of zipped through that. But love that. Psalm 19, got to remember that. It's a good comeback on the carnal Protestant. But the carnal mind is subject to the law. It's not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed. In Ephesians 2:8, we talked about it's Yahweh, his workmanship unto good works. Also we said there in the book of John that he has wrought these righteous works in us, putting down the idea that all we have to do is just raise our right hand and then close our eyes and we'll be saved. You know, I mean, it's possible, but if that's all our salvation consists of, then it doesn't consist of anything. you know, other than, well, Yahweh, I believe, like the song says, I believe that every drop of rain and and every newborn child, well, that's good. But, you know, the Yahweh created the earth. Great, you believe there is a creator, that we didn't just evolve here, but does that describe what Yahweh is really like, what people commonly call God? What is he really like? What does he want from us? He wants our praise, of course, but how do we know that? If we just know that he created things, then we don't really know anything more than that. Then there's really no way to know his will. And some people say, well, you can't put him in a box. But he says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. You know, I have revealed myself to you. It's right here. Can't you read it? It's in black and white, he said. Well, look on the website up there in the screen. There's a picture of the scriptures. And we can look at those scriptures and really be thankful that he's, you know, people have died. They've gone through torture. They've gone through much persecution, loss of employment. Well, we're all unemployed due to the Western world and that we gave it all away due to the fact that we were sinners. Our country didn't care. They put the price of bullets and price of gasoline ahead of life of the unborn. You know, we didn't care about that as a country. But all of what, putting that aside, we're looking ahead to Yahweh for salvation. Okay, I didn't want to deal with all these objections that are, if you keep one law, you have to keep them all. James chapter 2, verse 10, Romans 11, then there's many other scriptures. All the saved are the chosen nation. Romans 12, Matthew 4, 4, we're to live by every word. Isaiah 28, 10, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then they say, what? Don't even try. Don't even try to say that, don't try to find out. There is no truth. That sounds like it's out of Berkeley or something. Truly, truly that Yahweh is, you know, that the Messiah is Jewish. He is of the tribe of Yehuda. He is Jewish. He was born of Jewish parents. And his lineage is Jewish. The entire book is Jewish, the Messiah, the apostles, even our salvation are Jewish. John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. The true believer shall praise the Father in spirit and in truth. John 4:22. New Jerusalem is Jewish. We're influenced by the Romans, by the Italians in the Dark Ages. They were anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish. And brought us to the point that where we don't want to praise the King of Kings, the Messiah. We want to put Elvis Presley as the King, you know, or some other Elvis. What was his name? Forget. And get away from that. Zechariah 14 says we'll go up to the feast there in his Jewish paradise. We'll up there to New Jerusalem. We were there to praise him at the feast. Whether it be a unlicensed house church or an assembly that meets, you know, like in Acts 13:42, that met on the Sabbath day, they met out and by a riverside. But while Protestants support state-licensed denominations, they indirectly support seminaries. And there at those seminaries, they may teach the law of Yahweh is of no effect. It's annulled. And with their doctrine of higher criticism, they attack the authority and the inspiration of the scriptures. See, Romans 11, we've been grafted into the good olive tree. That we are of Yahweh, we are of his chosen people, we are, you know, grafted in to Yahweh. You know, we are truly, you know, what they would call Israel, because we've been grafted in, according to Romans 11. You know, other than that, I guess you could say anything. And so we have cleared up all these misconceptions. We've gone down to Salvation is Jewish on page 3 of the document on the Yahweh website. Some of the titles there I kind of skipped over. more common objections to Yahweh's law. How to be saved is at the beginning. Keeping the law is bondage. Praising Yahweh on his commanded seventh day is considered wrong. We're not under the law, but under pardon. Are believers above the law? If you keep one law, you have to keep them all. Well, why not? What's the big deal? Those laws never change. They are eternal. James 2:10, Romans 11. We are a chosen nation. Did Messiah die to nail the laws to the stake, where they would be of none effect? You know, now sexual immorality is no factor at all. It's just a light thing to transgress Yahweh's laws. And then, well, there's all kinds of alibis and ways of getting around keeping Yahweh's law. There's the divisions that pastors want to come up with false teachers and say there's the ceremonial, the judicial, and the moral law. They separate the Torah into three categories there. We do see three categories. We see commandments, statutes, and judgments. There are three categories, but I don't see the words judicial, ceremonial, and moral. The laws are all together. And it's, you know, we don't join ourselves to Yahweh so that we can just go around keeping laws just any more than we would want to learn all the laws of football just so we could keep the laws of football out there on the 49th yard line. The law is Jewish. The entire book of Yahweh is Jewish. And then, of course, there is the alibi. Well, there's two new covenants, one for the Jews, the other for the Gentiles. That's one. I'll put that alibi aside over here. There, another statement. I'm covered by Jesus' righteousness, not by my works. My answer is we cannot be righteous while deliberately sinning and doing the opposite of righteousness. That is hypocritical, and I would call that pseudo-righteousness. It's pretend righteousness. How about neo-righteousness, new righteousness? The Spirit of Yahweh keeps us righteous, the Ruach HaKadosh. And then there's the saying, well, my heart is right with Yahweh. Well, that's where the problem begins. Yahweh knows our hearts. There's a possibility of self-deception while we're on this earth. There's a strong delusion, even worse. Read Romans 1 or 2 Thessalonians 2, Isaiah 66, and above all, Jeremiah 17:9. Another accusation is being obedient to Yahweh, keeping his Torah, is you are a legalist. And that's a false judgment from outsiders, because they're being presumptuous. They don't even know what laws you keep or don't keep, or, you know, I might be a complete law breaker. You know, they don't know that. I might just say I read the word, maybe I don't read it. How do they know anything, you know? Another one is, well, we have miracles in our church. We have the prosperity, we have success. You know, how about the Mormon church? They're successful. How about, what's that one there? Buddhism, but the Muslim religion is quite successful, and surely they do have some miracles there. Does that authenticate that the religion is correct? Does that authenticate the lifestyle? Spiritual gifts do not prove that it's the pure religion or that we're saved. And spiritual gifts and circumstances do not disprove the law. And pride is one of the big, big sins. There in Proverbs, what is it, 7? Proverbs 7. Take pride only in the King of Kings, who said in Mark 7, in vain do they worship me. I was once like that, and Yahweh delivered me. So as we study the Torah, not that we ask in the faulty practice of higher criticism, but that we might eliminate all of our misconceptions. Isaiah 28, let's study line upon line, and let's study and to live by every word that Yahweh has said that proceeds out of his mouth, Matthew 4:4. Enjoy the feast days. This is the first part of the program, Salvation is Jewish. We may have another and continue on here. My name is Stefan Yah. Please email me or contact in some way and let me know if you enjoy the program. And Maranatha, Yahweh is coming quickly. Pray towards that end. Hallelujah.